Last week, I preached a sermon talking about God doing a new thing. Rebecca alluded to it in her prayer. If you haven't heard it, hopefully we'll get it up on the internet this week and listen to it. Because today's sermon is kind of a follow-up to that. Talked about the wise men seeking after the star. They were seeking after something new. They were on a new adventure. And I believe God's calling us into a new adventure. But today I'm going to talk about how we often desire to slip back into the old. I don't know about you, but often my comfort zone is in the familiar. The things that feel safe. This week, I decided to call my brother up, who's visiting from Uxbridge. So he took the 4-hour drive to Spencerville. And we were working on a bathroom. My brother-in-law David's now living with us, so we have 6 people in our house, 3 kids, 3 adults, 1 bathroom. Wasn't working. So Doug, my brother, has some experience doing some plumbing work, so I asked him to come and help me, and things were going great. We were getting everything done, all the the septic line hooked up, and the water lines hooked up, and it came time to put in the shower, because we're going to get a new stand-up shower. We bought the nice glass one with a glass door, and here I am. I'm taking the glass out of the package, and it had been outside in the freezing cold, and as soon as I pulled it up and stood it up, smash! All over the place. And you know what? I stood there. Doug even told me, like, I looked like I was in shock, and I stood there thinking, how do I get back to the point previous, and there's just nothing that can be done to go back in time. I just want to say something. Some of you are like that in your spiritual lives. Some of us are like, hey, I just want to get back to that point when church was a happening place, and, I met with Pastor Dan, and we talked about some of the history of the church, and I'm aware of some of it, and things were going in a certain momentum, and then bang, the glass kind of shattered. And you're like, how do we get back to that point where we were going to grow people, we were reaching out to people, and then somehow, often it has to do with leadership, and I know there's history in a lot of churches of sexual immorality and just bad leadership. And Dan's filled me in on some of the things in the history of this church that we come to a certain point, some exciting things are about to happen, and bam, it's like the glass shattered, and you want to get back to the old. You want to go back to where it was when things were happening, and things people were excited about coming to church, and people were excited about being a part of the body. And then, and sometimes you get to a point in church where you're like, oh man, I just want to feel that comfort feeling again. And church, I want you to know that God's plans are for our future, to deliver us from our past, to move us forward so we are better than who we used to be. There's a saying, thank the Lord that I'm not who I used to be. And praise the Lord, he's not finished with me and left me where I am. And that I have a future waiting for me to be a better me as well. And I talked last week about being a quitter, a camper, a climber, and how that was something that spoke to me when I was a youth. And I really believe we need to move forward. But today I really want to show you in the scriptures here, we're going back to Galatians. And I want to finish this book of Galatians. We kind of stopped for Christmas and got into the story of the Advent story. But we're going to move forward in the book of Galatians, and we're in chapter 5. And we're going to come to the last two chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 6. And chapter 5 is the point where we get to the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is all the things that you can look forward to in your spiritual life. All the things that should give you hope for tomorrow. All the things that should make you not want to look back in the past. It's all the beauties of living life in the Spirit. Now, before he gets there, he's also going to talk about some of the things that are caused in our sinful desires. Some of the things that we have left in our past. But he's going to get to the fruit of the Spirit at the end of Galatians. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to preach this over this coming new year. I'm going to get to the point where we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to break down each and every one of the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Why are we going to stop and focus on each one? Because I believe it's the new identity that each Christian should have, and you might be already familiar with every single one of them. You might have been like, Pastor, I've learned every single one. I know them by heart. I can list them off to you, and I know what each one mean. And to be honest with you, that's great if you know. You can be the ones who help make that an identity of who we are as a church, because our motto is at the back there to live and love like Jesus, and Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and because he was filled with the Spirit, he had the fruit of the Spirit regularly. So even if you know them, it's important that we take them on as a body of Christ. And you might say, oh, Pastor, I already feel some of those things when I come into this place. I'm telling you, I've been here for a year now. Some of you feel them, some of you don't. Some of you come in here, and I know some people who have left this church in the past year, and they struggle to feel the fruit of the Spirit. To me, that means we got some work to do. We got a past that we need to leave behind. We need to move forward so that when we enter into this building, we don't feel the desires of our sinful nature. We feel the desires of our spirit nature, which is the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's the direction to which we're heading. But before Paul gets to that in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about some of the issues that were in his church at the time. He starts off chapter 5 by saying, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Here's the truth, church. When you walk into this place as a body of Christ, this should be the most freeing experience that you have during your week. And I'm not saying that you're not set free in your quiet time and your time with Jesus alone, but there's something powerful that happens when we unite in the name of Jesus, when we come together as one body. It's like when I was a kid, I really liked that show Transformers, and Power Rangers kind of did the same thing. They would have these toys that would all connect together into one bigger toy. I don't know, okay, I'm still pretty young in this crowd. But this is the toy that we had. We had different toys, and they would connect together, and they would make one big toy. Power Rangers, Transformers. Okay. I've lost you guys. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. Okay, so this is what is happening when we come together. You on your own is not what is meant to be the Christian life. Yes, you are to live as an individual in Christ, and Christ has set you free as an individual. I'm not diminishing that, but there is something even more powerful that happens when we come together and become the body. And Paul, the Apostle Paul says, the hand can't say to the foot, you don't belong. The eye can't say to the hand, you don't belong. We all belong as many parts. And so when you come together into this place, this should be the most empowering, freedom place. You should feel the most activated in your spirit. You should feel most encouraged about your future. You should be filled with the most love. This is the place to be. And this is how the church grows. When we know who we are in Christ, we just become who God has called us to be. And people are like, I want to. They're like me when I was a kid and I said, I want to play with that toy. They're like, hey, I want to be a part of that body. That's what happens. And so when Paul says, it is for freedom's sake that you've been set free, do not come under the yoke of slavery, what he's saying is the old form of religion that the Jews used to have, which is when they used to come together as a people, they were under a burden of slavery, which was called the law, which is just a rules of do's and do nots. You need to make sure you do these behaviors. You need to offer sacrifices at the right time. You need to say your prayers the right way. You need to make sure you give the right amount. They were all rules. You cannot do this, you cannot do that, blah, 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 blah. And it's not like some of those don't have benefit within it, but when you come into Christ, you actually feel freedom. You might even behave similarly. Here's a good example. You know, whether you're under the curse of the law or you're in the Spirit, you're going to choose not to murder people. If you're under the yoke of slavery in the law, you're going to not murder people because it says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. But when you come into the life in the Spirit of the church, you're just so blessed to be in the presence of God, you don't even think about murdering people. That's why Jesus said, it starts in your heart. He starts in your heart. He says, even if you think anything evil towards someone, you've already committed murder in your heart, comparing hate to murder. Why? Because he wanted to see that you can be set free from even the root cause of the murder. So it's not just don't murder, it's you get to be free to love people you never thought possible. You used to hate those people, now you love them. This is being set free from the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And again I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. By faith we eagerly await the Spirit of righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So why is he talking about circumcision now? You might be like, well, this doesn't make any sense. He's talking about circumcision. That's the Old Testament. Yeah, that's the point. The point here is that when Christ came and lived a life here, he accomplished everything in the Old Testament that we needed to be obedient to, that God had asked the people of Israel to do. So there were laws in the Old Testament that nobody could fulfill. They couldn't accomplish every single one, yet Jesus did them. But the Bible says that no man other than Jesus could do them. And so now you've been set free because through Christ, when Jesus was a baby, he was circumcised. You know, on the eighth day of Jesus' life, we read that. You know, we just had the Christmas season. You read it in the Christmas story. After Jesus was born, he was taken to be circumcised. Every part of the law that needed to be accomplished by us so that we would be perfect in God's eyes, Jesus did. Why? So we wouldn't have to do it anymore. And what Paul is saying here is that when you try to accomplish things on your own outside of the Spirit of God, you're going back under the yoke of slavery. And he uses circumcision as an example because in that church they said, hey, if you want to be a part of this church, you need to be circumcised. Get me out of that church. But honestly, could you imagine being not just a church that says, hey, you want to be circumcised to be part of our church, but any form of the Jewish law, if you don't obey it perfectly, you're not a part of our community. That is tough. That's not the freedom that we see in Christ. That's not the way that God wants us to live our lives. And yet, people were trying to go back to the form of circumcision. They were set free in Christ, yet they were trying to go back to the way they were living previously to Christ. Church, even though we're living in the new covenant, even though we know we are the church of Jesus Christ, churches often want to go back to tradition again. It doesn't mean we want to all be circumcised. There are other forms of tradition that enter into the church, other things that man has introduced into the church that we as the church often want to duplicate because we say, hey, it worked once, let's do it again. Programs or forms of worship, you know, the songs we sing or the liturgy or the pastor who preached this one good sermon once. Now we've got to do it all over again because we know the good thing happened one God work that way. You know, my dad, I'll use him as an example. He likes when pastors wear ties. He says, Thomas, why don't you wear a tie in church? I said, well, wearing a tie doesn't bring God into our church. There's nowhere in the Bible says wear a tie. Why does my dad want me to wear a tie? I'll tell you why. Because when he became a Christian at the age of 30, he came into the church and the pastor who introduced him to Jesus wore a tie. So now he has in his mind this connection that if I want to meet with God, the person who is speaking on behalf of God should look a certain way. And I tell my dad, there's nothing wrong with wearing a tie, but there's nothing right with it either. God can be introduced to a person on the street, through a person on the street just as much as the guy in a suit. And circumcision was the issue in the time of Paul when he was going around to the churches, which were mainly filled with Jewish believers. They wanted to say, hey, if you want to meet with God, you got to do this. And I think we've got to guard ourselves against that church. We have to be careful that we don't say, hey, we have to do it the way we've always done it. We have to move forward. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Man, that is a true saying. A little yeast runs through a whole batch of dough. That's a warning for us as a church of how quickly one person can steer an entire church. And I want to guard us against that. If you hear someone within our congregation with an attitude that is contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, someone who tries to bring us back into a yoke of slavery rather than trying to set us free in Christ, we need, as a collective body, to cut that out. My niece banged her head last night, and she had a cut, and it was bleeding at the back of her head, and we were debating whether or not she needed stitches or not. She turned out the bleeding stopped. She's fine. Things were good, but you know, when you have a cut, you got to make sure it doesn't get infected. Because a small infection can go through the whole body and cause serious damage. Same thing can happen in a church. We do not clean the wound. How do we clean ourselves? We confess our sins to one another. We repent. It's my job as pastor, and I believe if you're a leader in this church, it's also part of your job to correct, to teach, to rebuke anything that is contrary to what God would want to have in his church. We need to encourage each other to move forward, to live a clean and pure life in the eyes of Jesus. So that we can run that race good, so that the whole batch of dough, that's us, the whole batch of dough, cannot be tainted by a little bit of yeast. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who has thrown you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for the agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Want me to explain that to you? Okay, some of you say yes. All right, well, here's what he's saying. He's saying because there's these people who are correcting the church by trying to get them to go backwards rather than move forwards in Christ. They're trying to get them back to a tradition of man rather than following the Lord Jesus. He's saying those people are teaching circumcision, which is, you know what circumcision is. It's to cut off the foreskin at birth. And Abraham was not at birth when he had it done, so they were even doing it to men who wanted to enter into the Jewish faith, saying if they're cutting off foreskin to gain their salvation, they're hurting the church. And since they're hurting the church, I'd rather them cut off their whole part so they would hurt themselves rather than hurting the church. That's the heart of a pastor, I can tell you that much. As a pastor, when I see other people hurting us as a church, sometimes you wish they would just go away because they're hurting the whole body. And it's better if they want to hurt someone, go hurt yourself rather than hurting the whole body. That's what Paul's saying. I wish they would just go and cut their own selves off if they want to cut everybody else. And he's talking about physically, but I think he's also talking about spiritually here. You're going to hurt each other? Go hurt someone else. Don't hurt us. The body of Christ, the church, the people of God, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be the ones who demonstrate love. And that's how he says, you know, the only thing that counts, this is verse 6, if you go back to verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. This old form of tradition doesn't matter. What matters is that we love each other. And if you do not see love, faith expressed through love, if you do not feel love in this place, it is better that you're not here. because we want this place to be filled with love. And if you are struggling feeling love that you want, you're seeking it, stay here until you find it, because I believe you can find it. I believe I found it in this past year being amongst this people. You know, it's a strange thing to pick up your family to move to a whole new community and then say, God, I'm really trusting you that you're going to provide love in my life through this new people. And listen, I found it. And I believe that there are people who can walk in, you know, and for the first time, some people told me this recently. They walked in through the doors and they felt something special here. Man, doesn't that excite you about being part of this people? But if anything, if anyone wants to come against it, man, rather than cut themselves off. It's harsh words from the Apostle Paul. And if your pastor's ever harsh with you, it's because we want to protect the whole group. We want to protect the whole body. I'll speak real quickly here about our children too. Jesus gave very stern warnings. So here's the Apostle Paul is talking about emasculating himself. Jesus said it's better to put a millstone hung around your neck and throw yourself into the depths of the ocean. So that's pretty much drowning yourself. It's better to drown yourself than to hurt the children. So yes, we protect the body. Guess what? The future of our body is our children. And so how we speak to our children, how we teach them, how we treat them is so important here. To Jesus, because it's important to Jesus, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. It's important to us. And if I'm harsh with you as a pastor, it's to protect the little ones and the culture that we raise them in, and it's how we protect each other as well as believers. Amen?
Amen.
You, my brothers, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Why do we say that? Because when we say we've moved away from the old way, we've moved away from the old covenant, we've moved away from do's and do nots, the law, then people say, well, if I'm free to do whatever I want, then I'll just go ahead and sin. And the Bible says, no, you're not free to sin, you're free to love. You don't have to worry about do's and do nots. But you should worry about, hey, how can I love my brother or sister? How can I, if your gift is serving, how can I serve them? If your gift is giving, how can I give something to them? If your gift is baking, how can I leave a nice batch of cookies on the pastor's desk? You think about how to serve each other in love. It's not just the pastors, it's, you know, serve each other in love. Serve each other in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you ever have church conflict, think about the person you're in conflict with and think, how would I want that person to be treated? It's very simple how to root out conflict in the church. You start putting yourself lower than other people. You start esteeming, as the Apostle Paul says in some of his other letters, you esteem other people higher than yourself. You don't think of yourself so highly. You love people, your neighbor, as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I'm going to stop there this week. Next week we'll go into, next week Pastor Liz is preaching, actually. And then the week after that, we will look at the sinful nature, which is contrary to the spirit nature. But Paul gives a warning in verse 15 there. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You know how churches die? You know how churches close? It's not about money. It's not about how they can raise funds, but how they treat each other. I believe we will not struggle making our budget for years to come, even if it keeps increasing, if we love each other. Guess what, people? If they see vision, if they see love, if they get excited about being a part of a faith community, they will give their money towards it. I will give my money towards it when we love each other. But if people come in here and they feel fighting and devouring, they will leave. And they will not want to support what God wants to do in this place. Because if they don't sense God here, why would they want to support that? How we treat each other matters so much. And when God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing and we're moving forward, there's a temptation to go back to the old. And then you have this debate within a church often. It's the people who want to move forward versus the people who want to do things the way they used to be done. I'm telling you, church, be on your guard against such fighting. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do certain things the way they've always been done. Because certain things are timeless. The Word of God is timeless. We will not change our teachings on the Word of God. We will continue to make sure we preach. We will continue to make sure we pray. We will continue to worship. These things are timeless. How we demonstrate some of those things, how we reach out to our community, how we interact with one another, those things over time will change. The color of the paint on the wall might change. You know, the building we live in might change. But when those things seem to devour us and we fight about those forms, or the programs that we run, church falls apart. And it dies. I don't know about you, but I want to be something, part of something alive. This Spirit giving life to us. Like Rebecca was praying, where we are God's conduit and He flows through us. When we were working on the water in my basement, we unfortunately had one of the taps on when we turned the water on, the one that was connected to the toilet, but it wasn't yet connected to the toilet. So my brother was in the basement, turned on the water, and the water sprayed up everywhere, and there was a lot of water fast. And we got it all cleaned up. I want that to be a part of my spiritual. I want my spirit life to be just as soon as the Holy Spirit touches me, bam, it flows out and gets everyone wet around me. You know? That's what I want for my church. I want people coming here and they just can't help but be touched by the Spirit. And the things that used to bother them, the things that used to really irritate them, hey, those people who pray, you know, they start to be like, hey, I actually like that now. I actually like hearing people pray. I actually like singing. You know, some people come into church, and I see you. I'm up here worshiping, too. You know, this is how you worship, right? Listen, when the Lord touches you to lift your hand just a little bit, don't be afraid to let the conduit of God flow through you, and your hand looks like it's flowing a little bit of water out of it. A little hose there. It's all right if God touches your body. No, we don't have to do that. I'm just saying. God is moving in your body. Do not refuse God. It causes you to open your mouth and sing. Sing loud. I once went to a Pentecostal church, and there was a woman who could not hold a tune. She could not, but she sang the loudest. You know what? It was not pretty, but I believe that God was speaking to her because I heard it in the back of my head, and I believe that it didn't matter how she sounded. She loved the Lord, and God was ministering through her. Same goes for you. Doesn't matter how you sound. Let God flow through you. Let His goodness. Don't be stuck in yesterday. Move forward to where God is bringing you in new places. We're no longer under a yoke of slavery. We are now free from the law. We are not called to sin. We are called to freedom. To serve each other in love. That is the summary of this start of the chapter. We are free. You're free to serve each other in love, to move forward together as the body of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that your word lays it all out for us of who we are to be in you, what kind of church we're going to have in 2018. We're going to be a church that loves each other. And Lord, in order for that to happen, we need your help to root out any backbiting, any conflict, any hurting of your body. Lord, would you help us clean up any areas, any wounds that might infect the whole body, any yeast that is in this dough, Lord, that we would be a place where we can sense your Spirit as soon as we walk in this building. That collectively, as we come together, we see love worked out. That we see the fruit of the Spirit manifest amongst us. Lord, and that it makes us feel a little uncomfortable. Lord, help us to put how we feel and how we might be irritated aside for you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a greater sense of belonging despite how we might be outside of our comfort zone. Lord, that as we move forward away from who we used to be and to who you want us to be in the future, Lord, we can forget our old self. And that we can continue to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, revering you as our God more than fearing men around us. But loving the people. Lord, I pray that we'd be a church that as soon as someone new comes into that door, Lord, we jump on them with so much love they can't help but want to be a part of this family. Lord, I pray for everyone in 2018 who from our community or moving into our community who walks through these doors, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would equip their hearts with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a receiver of your love, that when we come and we shake their hand and we hug them, Lord, that they just can't help but want to be a part of your hands and feet here in North Granville Community Church. Lord, I pray for the other churches in our community as well. Lord, we are part of this body here in North Granville Community Church, but we're also part of the full body of Christ, which includes other believers in our towns, Lord, and other churches which are worshiping throughout the week. Lord, we want to be a part of who they are. Help us get along. Help us to love them as we love ourselves. Help us to work together to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we believe that you have called us, each and every one of us. You've called each and every one of us to participate in the divine nature, to be a part of this bigger picture, the body of Christ, Lord, that every gift of every individual who's a part of this church is important. The success of your kingdom. So we pray that you would encourage us, that you would bless us, you would give us hope. And Lord, for those who are struggling, because Lord, they met you in a form of tradition that might no longer exist, Lord, I pray that you would reintroduce yourself to them in new ways. Because Lord, you want to be our daily bread. You want your mercies to be new to us each and every morning. So Lord, would 2018 be a brand new year in faith, a new and exciting step in the journey of each and every one of our spiritual lives? Would we see greater things this year? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.